Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 36, where he'll be answering three questions associated with the rapture of the church. What is the rapture? Why is there a rapture? And also, when is the rapture? More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36.
How it would go is this. The bridegroom would go to get his bride at an unexpected hour. She would know the approximate date and timing, but she didn't know the exact time. So how she knew she better get ready is because she would hear chaos in the streets. And it would be the bridegroom's best men, his guys, his groomsmen. And they would be preparing the ways. He'd be ushered in to come and get his bride. She'd put that veil over her face. And he would take her and he would bring her to the place of festival, the place of celebrating. They would go into the bedroom chamber and they'd consummate the marriage and they would feast with their family and friends for 7 days. It speaks of, it illustrates what Christ is going to do with us. He wants to be with you. He wants to hang with you. He doesn't just want to receive you in the air and then immediately come right back to the earth and set up his kingdom, because his kingdom is work, by the way. It's heaven, but it's not the fullness of heaven. When we come for 1,000 years and rule and reign with Christ, we're going to be given dominion and authority to rule and reign the nations with him. That's not much of a honeymoon. I mean, we'll be with him and we'll be in our glorified body, so it'll be wonderful. But I would rather go to heaven for a little while and hang with my bridegroom, Jesus Christ, and put a face with a name. And I need to have time to fulfill Revelation 19 and 20, which is what? The marriage supper of the Lamb. What type of marriage supper is there? It's like eating McDonald's in the air real quick and coming right back to earth. I'd rather sit at the banqueting table where his banner over me is love and be served filet mignon and some Swiss chard and baked potato with bacon and cheddar and whatever else and a nice Caesar salad and feast with my Lord and with David and with Abraham and my family and my sister-in-law who's gone before me and my grandparents who have been there waiting for me. I can't wait for that day to be with him. And 7 years between the rapture and his coming again gives time for those things. By the way, that's included in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 when Paul said, comfort each other with these words because the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up in the air and we'll be reunited with who? Those people that we buried, that were in Christ. What a reunion it's going to be. You folks that have been married to somebody for 50, 60 years, you're going to see them again. Wait a minute. And it's going to be in their glorified body. I mean, we're going to see each other in our glorified bodies. Paul said that the dead in Christ will rise first. 1 Corinthians 15 says that the corruptible must put on incorruptible, that mortality must put on immortality, and it's going to happen in the air when we meet Jesus and our loved ones. Glorified bodies, opportunity for that transition, that metamorphosis, that change, that getting rid of these rags and taking on those riches. For some of you, that's wonderful news. For some of you, you're thinking, I don't want to give up this body. I've been working awfully hard. But for a lot of us, we think, why work hard? We're going to get a new body. I mean, that's exciting news. So eat your cheeseburger today. Order a pizza. You're going to get a new body. And there's a cooperation on Jesus' end, the great creator. He's the creator. And there's cooperation with the body you have now and the body that he's going to give you, because your body right now is flesh and blood. Blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So what's going to happen is you're going to get a body that's flesh and spirit, spirit-driven instead of blood-driven. And it's going to be able to inhabit the heavenlies and be with Jesus and take in what Paul said is unlawful for me to try to tell you about. I can't even tell you about it. It'd be unlawful. It'd be blasphemous. But we'll be able to take it in. It will take us eternity, but we'll be able to start taking it in with what he gives to us. 3 minutes left. When is it? You told us what it is. You're told that why it is, but when is it? That's the part. That's the part that's amazing about a pre-tribulation rapture, is it's the imminent return of Christ. You don't know. I don't know. We don't know. That's why Jesus takes the rest of this chapter, man. You could do it on your own. You could look at this thing here all the way from verse 36 to the end. And what do you see here? Be ready, be ready. Watch, watch. Be ready, be ready. Watch, watch. Why, Lord? Because when I come, it's going to be like the days of Noah. By the way, further evidence, not the second coming. When he comes during the second coming, it's going to be a mess here. When he comes at the second coming, Armageddon is just ending. It is Armageddon when he comes. When he comes at the second coming, planets, stars, moon and sun, they're going to be falling from the sky. There's going to be meteorite showers. Some hailstones are going to be 125 pounds. I'm going to share this with you next week. There's going to be hail coming from heaven that is destructive. There's going to be the bottomless pit that opens up and demons are released and covering the earth. A third of human population is going to be wiped out. Water is going to be polluted. It's going to be turned to blood. That is not the time of Noah. That makes no sense. Jesus took the earlier portion of this chapter to tell you about what precedes the second coming. We won't be here for that. Not because we're wonderful, but because he's wonderful. When he comes to call us home, it's going to be like the days of Noah. What were the days of Noah like today? Genesis chapter 6 tells you what the days of Noah were like. The days of Noah were a time of population explosion. What are we up to? 7 billion plus people on this planet? You could go Google population explosion in modern history, and you will see the numbers and how outrageous they are. There has been and there still continues to be a population explosion. What else were the days of Noah like? Eating, sleeping, drinking, planting, plucking, the synoptic gospels tell us, buying, building, just everyday normal American life, interesting enough. Sure, they were days that were filled with violence, and sure, they were days where men's imaginations were always only continually wicked, but my goodness, that's what's going on here. We look like we've got it going on. The economy might be booming again. Your 401k might be in better, better place, whatever it would be. Who cares? Listen, but morally speaking, which is how God measures time, morally speaking, we are there. The depravity of our sin abounds. And Jesus, that's how it's going to be. When I come again to receive my bride unto myself, to carry her over the threshold, to go on my honeymoon with her for 7 years, when I come for that, it's going to be a time where I have to tell you, you got to wake up, because there's going to be an apathy. And I'm telling you, believers today, to learn from the unbelievers then. What were the unbelievers doing then? Not heeding. Not listening. Noah preached for 100 years. Started building the ark when he was 500. Around that age, at least, it seems, by the close of chapter 5 and into chapter 6 of Genesis. Preacher of righteousness, telling the culture around him, rain's coming. You crazy old man, rain. There had never been rain. There was a canopy beyond the atmosphere that sheltered and protected the world from harmful UV rays and other things that would be dangerous and hazardous to humans' health. It was like they were living in this incubator that created tropical atmosphere, and water came up from the ground. And that's how the earth was watered. They never saw rain before. You crazy old man! Laughing at him, scorning him. You're out of your mind. You've been studying too hard as he builds this ark. 450 feet long in his driveway. 100 years, not one drip of rain. Kept being obedient to God. He was walking with God. He was trusting God. At the end of his ministry, when he says, all right, who's going to get on this boat of salvation? If you're a statistician, you would say his stats were terrible. Greg Laurie's posting on Instagram, 3,000 plus people got saved last night, not including Friday. He's going to be used by God to save 10, 15,000 people. Noah? 7. His wife, his 3 sons, and his 3 daughter-in-laws. That's it. The rest of the generation mocked, scoffed, scorned. There's never been rain, a boat. What are you talking about? You're crazy. Imagine as his wife and his boys and his daughter-in-laws get on and the animals 2 by 2. And he yells out, is there anybody else who wants to get on? the look on his face, this 600-something-year-old man, as everybody around him says, no. Jesus says, when I come again, that's how it's going to be. Not come again, touchdown, come again toward the earth for my bride. Itchy ears are going to be abounding. Evil being called good and good being called evil. Not an endurance for sound doctrine. People looking at the clock at 12:03 and saying, you said you were going to be done 3 minutes ago. This is not going to make you popular, Pastor. Telling us about the bride. I'm not here to be popular. I'm here to shepherd people. You understand? I'm not here to be liked. I'm here to please my God. So I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus said that's what it's going to be like. There's not going to be an endurance for sound word. People are not going to want to hear Bible teachings. They're going to want to hear catchy phrases and terminology and facts and things that are funny and make them laugh and make them cry and then make them laugh again. You know, there's an art to that. That's what they're going to want. Jesus says, that's what it's going to be like. And it's going to catch many believers that are at least professed believers off guard. There's going to be an apathy. They're going to be sleeping so many people. They're going to be caught in sin like the wicked servant at the end here. He says, don't do that. Don't engage yourself with wicked sin. Listen, don't engage yourself with the scorners who say the Lord's been saying that forever. Don't engage yourself with those who say there's these things that have to happen first before he calls us home. There's nothing that has to happen first. Noah got on that boat. We know that, right? He got on the boat. Who shut it? God. So the way I picture this is Noah gets on that boat and he's leaning out. And I think that this tender heart of God's servant, probably with tears in his eyes, I think probably was yelling out with the backdrop of a blue sky that was turning gray quickly. Maybe there were some rumbles of thunder as God in heaven was getting ready to pop that canopy. And I think that he said, is there anyone else who wants to get in this source of salvation before that destruction comes? And when the response was no, God's hand shut that ark. But as though God's hand was open to Noah's world before he shut that ark, just like God's hand is open to you and to me and to all today, wanting us to hear this, wanting us to receive this, wanting us to be watching and wanting us to be waiting, wanting us to be ready so when he comes, we're not ashamed. So when he comes, we could be found ready. Because here's the crazy part about the rapture. Second coming, we can time that. Abomination of desolation, let me spin your heads one last time and then I'll be done. Abomination of desolation, verse 15, Matthew 24 happens. Antichrist barges into the Holy of Holies, demands to be worshipped as God. He desecrates the Holy of Holies, the temple of God. Daniel says, I think it's Daniel 11, verse 12. He says this. He says, from that time period, 1,260 days later, Christ will return. A time, and time and a half, Christ will return. 3.5 years after he desecrates the temple, Jesus Christ will return. So if you're a tribulation believer, if you think I'm crazy today and you mock and you scorn today and you don't get right so that you get left, then don't take the mark and you do see these things unfold. Listen, here's the deal. You'll be able to say after the Antichrist does his deed and he's going to do it, he's going to fulfill what Jesus said like everybody else always has in all of the scriptures. When that happens, you can say this. Okay, here we go. Jesus is coming again in just a little over 1,000 days. We can't do that with a rapture. We got the times and the seasons, days of Noah. Christ said, it's pretty, the parallels are right. I mean, it's right on par. So here's what we have to do then. We have to abide with this purifying hope. It's not just the blessed hope. It's the purifying hope where every single day, man, we wake up and we say this, Lord, today could be the day that you call me home. Help me to live for you. Help me to walk with you. Help me to serve you. Help me to love this world like you do and to be used as a vessel in it till that trumpet sounds. Well, there's never been a trumpet. I know, and there was never rain. Till the voice of the archangel sounds. I know there's never been a voice of the archangel, and there was never rain. until Jesus Christ appears for that millisecond in the sky and he says those words, come up hither, and only those who know his voice will hear it and they'll be gone. That's what we do. Because we're to be like therapy to this world that is sick. We're to be like therapy to this world that needs healing. This world needs healing. We're to tend to it. We're to mend it. We're to take care of it. We're to be a light in it. Why the door is open, ushering people in. So my job and your job is to be like Noah of old, preachers of righteousness. We're not here to be cool. We're not here to be relevant. We're not here to be suave. We're not here to be stylish. We're not here to be trendy. Listen, we stand on the old rugged cross. Our feet are planted on the old path that leads to eternal life. It's straight, it's narrow, but it's open. It's open and it's clear for anybody and everybody who wants to get on. And that's what we give out. We're preachers of righteousness, not our righteousness, not this church's righteousness that you get by becoming a member, but by Jesus Christ and his imparted righteousness to all who will believe. That's what we give out. Amen? That's what we give out. So the worship team's going to close us out here. Listen to me. Here's how we leave. We leave elated and we leave excited over the things we understand. There's a lot we don't understand. I'm not a know-it-all. I don't know anything. We don't have all the answers. I can't, if you come up to me after and you try to find discrepancy, I'll send you to Pastor Larry. I don't know that much. I'm just going to tell you this. We can't go there. We go on what we do know. We hold on to what we do know. And what I know is this. When I read the tribulation and the wrath of the Lamb that's going to be poured out on the earth dwellers, it troubles me. But you know something? More than those things that trouble me, what excites me is that my God just keeps that door open so long. And he keeps bidding people to come in. And it's not like he's vicious or vindictive and he just sneak attacks the world and never gave a heads up. He's been delaying his coming, to use your scorner's vernacular, for 2,000 plus years. You want to talk about patient? You want to talk about forbearance? Jesus Christ is those things. And he's waiting, desiring that none would perish, but all would have everlasting life. What he did with the thief on the cross is what he wants to do with people today. The thief on the cross is the perfect icon to be held up for all of us to see that you can't do anything to earn forgiveness. You can't do anything to earn salvation. But say this, Lord, Lord, remember me. Oh, today you'll be with me, sir, in paradise. When I can do this every week and say without discrimination to a crowd of hundreds of people, young, old, black, white, city people, suburb people, don't matter. I can say, if I'm here, if I go on a road trip preaching, I could tell everybody anywhere, the door's still open. That's what excites me. That's what stirs me. Not about the future trouble that's coming to this world. My God told us of what's coming. And he's had preachers in righteousness from Noah onward, man. He's never stopped having his messengers. And he gave prototypes of this event happening, the rapture, all through his word. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for he was taken, Genesis chapter 5. Elijah, 2 Kings, was caught up in a whirlwind, prototype of the church. Philip, in the book of Acts, was translated, harpazo, caught up, snatched up, translated, means of transportation to where Christ wanted him to go and minister. Jesus Christ was raptured. When he stood on the Mount of Olives before he ascended back into glory, he gave his final benediction to his apostles that remained, and then he was caught up into glory. He went up into the clouds, and the angel came, and he said to the men of Galilee, you men of Galilee, why are you troubled? This same Jesus that just departed from you is coming again. He gave his prototypes. He gave us theology. He gave us his own words. He stamped them. He concreted them. Even so, Lord, come quickly is how Revelation ends. He gave us everything that we need. I'm not going to get caught up in the parts I don't understand why he's going to do this. I'm going to get caught up in that the door's still open. And I'm going to hold the door. And I'm going to keep telling everybody why there's breath in my lungs, that there is healing, there is hope, there is comfort, there is forgiveness. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've come from. Jesus loves you. He died in your place for you. Receive and believe, and you can know that you know that when you die, you will be with him forevermore. It's amazing. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to lead you in a closing prayer. And at the end of the closing prayer, I'm going to give you a second service, the same opportunity that I gave first. At the end of this prayer, so that you can be prepared, I'm going to invite you to stand at your seat. And in standing at your seat, you're going to say this, Jesus, I want you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, please save me. I'm going to lead you in that prayer. The Bible says that those who call on the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. That's all you got to do to be saved. I'm going to lead you in that prayer. So Jesus, I ask you now for any soul that you are after, that Lord, you have led here today for this moment. I ask you, Jesus, that you give them the courage and the faith to stand and believe. I pray, Lord, that they would respond to your great love the way that I have, the way that many of us have, Lord. At some moment in time, we've responded. That's what we do. We respond to your love. I pray they would respond rightly now as this opportunity is given to them in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you want to receive Jesus, just stand. Just stand right at your seat. God bless you guys. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Just keep standing. We're going to wait for you. Stay standing. Keep standing. He loves you. When Noah was there at the door of the ark and it was being shut, I'm sure there were people as the clouds started rolling in and the sky started getting gray. I'm sure there were people there who were thinking, man, I kind of want to change my stance. I kind of want to stop throwing my beer can at that boat, put it down and fall on my knees before this old man and figure out how I can get on that boat. I'm sure there was that, but I'm sure there was also, but what will they think? What will they say? And they jeopardized their eternity for that moment of fitting in before that canopy burst and the floods of the earth came like God said they would. Don't be like those in Noah's day. Be like Noah. Be like Noah who responds and says, God, I believe. I'm getting on the boat. If there's anybody else here, you wanna get on the boat while the door's still open. Jesus is that boat. He's that lifeboat. Come to Jesus today. Not to Calvary Chapel, not to me. You don't ever have to come here again. You come to Jesus today. God bless you guys. Now, those of you who are standing, I'm going to ask you to repeat out loud after me. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and you profess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. So you repeat out loud after me. Dear Jesus, come on out loud to the Lord. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Please come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Help me to follow you. Help me to walk with you all of my days. Fill me with your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys that are standing.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let blood and water hit the ground.